Okay, why don't we open up with prayer? Heavenly Father, just ask you again this evening to minister to our hearts. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you desire to reveal yourself and your ways to us, that you've hidden them to the world, but you reveal them to us, your people. Lord, continue just to unfold and cause your truth to just take root in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're on page 65 at Romans 8:4. I'm going to read the first three verses to pick up the context again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned or judged sin in the flesh. Now verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. On your notes, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I'm glad this but is in there. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Aren't you glad we have the Spirit of God revealing the things of God to us? And again, this is one of those things where we have to get our minds renewed, because so many times we feel like, well, God's just hiding these things. And it says, no, God wants to reveal them to us. He wants you to be able to see them. One of the things that sometimes hinders is our understanding is we think we know how he's going to go about it. And we have this predetermined idea that, okay, this is how God will do it. And we think, oh, he'll bless this person or he'll bless me. Pardon me. When in fact, he might send it through a trial, through suffering, and our minds are going, no, where's God in this? And so we've got to be open to just allowing God to speak to us, to comfort us, to lead us, and to go through things and understand that God will never leave you or forsake you. I know at times it's hard to discern, okay, when is this thing a suffering that God allowed to come my way, or was it because of some stupid thing I did? We sometimes make decisions, do things, and we're not aware that it's going to have some consequences. But even in those things, God is with you. He will minister to you, and he can use those things still to work good in your life. So the key thing to remember is that he's always with us. He doesn't drop you off for a while and say, okay, you're on your own, I'll be back, check in on you on Thursday. He's got a heart to reveal, and he wants you to know those things. He doesn't want Kirk to be the one who understands all these things. He doesn't want Paul. Doesn't want me, or Ted, Nathan. He wants you to be able to receive those things because his Spirit is in you for that reason. Because he's going to be teaching us how to walk so that we can fulfill the righteousness of the law by following his leading. In 1 John 3:24, it says, "And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he's given us." We know he's there. If the Holy Spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, then you're probably not a child of God. But if you are one of his kids, his Spirit does bear witness with your spirit that you are his. In Romans 8:16, next verse, it says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And I shared with you my testimony about the lady weeping and crying, and I thought I didn't have it until I stood up and the Holy Spirit just spoke. It was just like a quiet thought, "You will never be the same again." He does it in various ways, but he lets you know. And I believe in his revealing, he lets us know kind of uniquely. You'll hear somebody, man, that Bill Powell and I talk about this a lot, because Bill will ask the Lord, and the Lord will give him an answer, but he doesn't know how he got there. He just knows that's what God gave him, and it's true. I'm the exact opposite. I got to find steps A, B, C, D, and E. Oh, yes, there's the answer. We both come up with the same answer. So you've got to realize you will hear people talking about different ways. And if you're going, "Oh, man, God doesn't speak to me that way," that's fine. He speaks to you in the way that you can comprehend him. There might be some of those same principles in there, and maybe not. I don't hear from God the way Bill does. But he doesn't study and see things in the Word the way I do. We're different. And God is going to uniquely continue revealing himself to you, but you have to be in the Word, and it's his Holy Spirit that's going to be doing this so that we can walk after him. In Romans 5:17, we read it when we covered it. It already mentioned that if we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign in life with Jesus. If we walk with him, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. The Holy Spirit is going to be working in our lives, causing us to fulfill God's plan. Walking in the Spirit is a matter of regulating or conducting ourselves according to the desires of the Spirit. Some of these principles are seen in Ephesians 4. Let's turn over there. Because people will say, "I wish I knew how to walk in the Spirit." I mean, you know, do you, "Woo, I'm in the Spirit today." No, the day we're going to be reading the scripture, the day you got saved and the Spirit of God came in you, you're in the Spirit. You say, "Well, this doesn't sound real spiritual here." In verse 21, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor." You want to walk in the Spirit? Speak truth. Because that's what he speaks. It says, be angry and sin not. Do you know God is angry at circumstances? But God never sins. He's saying, if you're angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole stop stealing. And labor working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying that may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be followers of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, has given himself as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let not once be named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, so you want to walk in the Spirit. He's telling us walking in the Spirit is putting on the new man, putting off the old, and he gives you some examples of what you should put off, what you should put on there. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Those are things that we can put on. The thing that we sometimes get confused about is, okay, well, I'm just doing that in my own strength. You know, God, no, you're not, because you are in the Spirit. And he says, these are things that I desire for you to have in your life. People in the world that try to put on these characteristics of this new man, they may succeed to a certain extent. But while they're doing that, something else rotten is cropping up over here. We are able to do it because of all the things we've been looking at, being crucified with Christ, being justified by him, being forgiven by him, having the Spirit of God. Those are the reasons why he says you need to be putting off this stuff. You say, well, I got a mouth like a truck driver. He says, stop. I've always been that way. He says, are you a new man? You can work at laying that part of your old nature aside and start speaking the things that edify. Stop doing the corrupt communication. Well, I'm always bitter. Life's just been rotten to me. It's all in what you see. What could be more rotten? I mean, you look at Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 11. I've been in perils in the sea, perils here. I've been beaten 3 times. I've been whipped these many times. I've been shipwrecked in the deep for a day and a half. Perils of this, the perils of Pauline. I don't see him getting bitter and saying, man, serving God, this is a tough chore. He's saying, this is part of it. We have got to get rid of the American Christian mentality. Because we're going to be moving into some verses that talk about suffering. We don't like to hear that. But when you take a look at, and I don't even have all the scriptures on it, But when you read those things, you should expect suffering. Say, well, no, Jesus wants to bless me. He'll bless you through suffering.
Amen.
He will, he can, and you can't get around it. I'm telling you, you really don't want to get around it. So here we see, you want to walk in the Spirit. This is part of what he's talking about. Yes, there is that part where he speaks something to you that's a direct revelation that no man could give you. That's the Spirit moving. But a big part of our spiritual life is lived out in our daily course of life at work, in your relationships. And how you deal in all of those will show whether you're walking in the Spirit of God or not. How are you treating your brethren? It says there, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If you're sitting in church and you got daggers going across the room, oh, she's sitting there, I'm going to sit over here, and oh, he's sitting over there, I'm going over here. You know what? You're not walking in the Spirit in that area. It says forgiving one another. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, I believe he's referring back to the previous chapter. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot be subject to the law of God. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So when you have somebody that says, well, I'm a good person, I go to church, and you need a scripture to be able to kind of help them see how God sees them. You can't be in the flesh and please God. You have to be born again. You got to have the Spirit of God. We read the scripture in 1 Corinthians there where the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. The other thing I hope you're seeing, kind of a side note here, is how Paul went through and he talked about the Jews and Gentiles, faith, works, righteousness, justification, and he left out the Spirit until this point, but he's covering all the bases as he goes through here on what this relationship is like, what's happening in it. The book of Romans is phenomenal for the multitude of truths that are in it. And so now he's kind of hammering in and zoning in on this spiritual aspect of it. In Colossians 3:1, if then you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set on what's above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth, the carnal things. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that's earthly in you that's employed in sin. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that's idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. Again, walking in the Spirit, you're looking to put to death those things. He says you can do it, and you should be doing it. He doesn't say, well, we should let this hang on for a while because you really haven't even read through the whole New Testament yet. No, he just says, take a look at this and start making the steps to turn away from that thing, to lay it aside. In Galatians 5:16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You can't fulfill the spiritual things if you're just continually walking in the flesh. Because the flesh is enmity with God. He wants you to walk in His ways, and then you'll be putting to death the things of the flesh. Now, can you be born again? And we've looked at this. You can be born again. You can have a certain amount of spirituality. But in 1 Corinthians 3, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he says, I can't speak to you as to spiritual people. I got to speak to you as carnal because that's what you are right now. I got to speak to you like babes. I don't think he wanted to necessarily speak to them that way. He wanted to be able to speak some higher truths. But it all depends on where we're walking. We can be born again and still be doing some carnal things. What we should be looking at is how to lay aside the carnal when God brings them to our attention, or we know we read the Word of God and it says you shouldn't do this and we're doing it. We shouldn't say, well, I'm going to wait until the Spirit of God really convicts me on that. The Word of God just brought conviction and light. You read it and you went, oh, what I'm doing is wrong. That's conviction. You have a recognition that it's not right. Say, Lord, I've got to do something here. And you can take a look in the scriptures. You can pray. If you know the steps that you need to do to change, start taking those steps. If you're unsure, talk to somebody that's more spiritual and get some help in finding what you can do to build yourself up and change from that. In Romans 8:9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That is our basis and our premise, that I am in the Spirit, even though at times I might be carnal. I need to come back and say, this is where I am. I am a new man. I have a basis for walking in this. I might be struggling, but this is who I am. Because what will happen is the devil will come along as you fall short, and he will continue to be an accuser to your face, saying, yep. And in our today's society, we begin to say stuff like, I'm just such a loser. Man, I am such a loser. And you begin to paint that picture for yourself. It's kind of hard to pick yourself up when all you do is keep calling yourself a loser. You got to come back to the Word of God and say, okay, yes, I blew it. Now, what do I need to do to get myself back up on track and moving again? Because you will end up just browbeating yourself to death over your shortcomings. I'm not talking about just going flippantly, oh, well, I sinned. I'm not talking about taking it lightly. I'm just talking about not beating yourself to death, just doing what God says to do. He knows you're struggling. How many parents in here have seen your kids struggle and you just wanted them to just ask you. Because sometimes parents don't want to step in, and even with grown children, it's kind of like a delicate balance on how far do I step in sometimes. How much more do you think God is waiting for us to say, Lord, I need help with this? He's got the heart of a father, more than any father on earth. And we think that he's just waiting up there to go, man, write that one in the book again. Did it again. It's a picture that we paint in our minds that has to be changed to the Word of God and how he sees us, what he wants from us, and the love that he has for us. If we do not see that clearly, you will continue to just walk along going, every time he blows, I am such a loser. I blew it in this. You're walking around mully grubbing. And God's saying, just get up off your face and do something right. Like seek me. If you don't know what steps to take, that is the first step you should do. Just set your heart on him. And there's times you might want to fast. Oh, that's hard. I can't fast. Yes, you can. And God says there's certain times that we do that. Because it humbles your soul so that you can hear from him. It humbles your soul that's got all these appetites and things where you're walking the wrong way. It stills that voice so the voice of God can be heard, whether through the Word of God or whether he speaks to you or whether it comes through the radio. It can come from any weird place, I'm telling you. But our soul can be put down. But we need to just come to him. Because if we have the Spirit of God in us, we are in the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not one of his. Romans 8:10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. How many of you know your body's going to die? Unless you happen to be alive when those go up with the Lord. I don't know when that's going to be, but there are going to be some people who do not have that physical death. But generally speaking, this body's going to die. It's going to die because you had sin in you. But we have the Spirit of life living inside of us who says, okay, that's just a temporary shell. And I'm going to give you a new one. Jesus said it's going to be like mine. His could walk through walls and then eat fish and then walk through the wall again. How's that work? I don't know. But I do see that he ate. I like to eat. And so that's what he's saying here. If Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin, but because the Spirit of life is in you, He's going to raise up this body, so you shouldn't live after the flesh. You don't owe it to the flesh, because if you do live after flesh, you're going to die. And you won't have the life of Christ in the resurrected body. You will live eternally, but it's not what you really want. In eternal judgment. These scriptures show that we face death because of sin, but it's not the death of an eternal separation from the Lord. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Romans 14:8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I haven't quite reached that mentality. I'm being honest. Because all my relationships other than Christ are right here on this earth. And I would like my heart to get to that point where he's like, man, when I'm living on this earth, I'm living with Christ, Christ living through me, but to die is better. I don't think he was just writing goofy things. And so, I don't know how many here have that heart where you're saying, but it's something we should be looking at. Because are we still holding so tight to those things around us, even though we think we have a balance in them? You know, everybody likes balance. I like balance. But there are some things in the scripture that are pretty radical, and they're off the edge. And having a heart like this, I think he had things in perspective, because he was looking, like Colossians said, at the things that are above. And it's just something to think about as far as even in your own hearts. I know where mine is. I can't speak for anybody else. But I know I don't quite have that one down. I don't even know how far I would have it. I don't know. There's no way to really gauge it. All I know is, if I had the choice to say, okay, well, you want to die today or you want to live for a while? I'm saying, well, I'd like to stick around for a while yet. You know, I could be real used to you, Lord. But Paul was like, man, I'd really like to be with the Lord. But I know you guys need me, and so because of that, I'll stick around. Here's some scriptures that show that there is eternal life with Christ. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 6:50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's, again, the heart of Paul. don't raise your hands, but just think. As you read that, are you saying, God, I am willing to just check out and be with you? I think it should be in our hearts. And again, I'm just blown away sometimes when I see that, because he says, we are confident and willing. Oh, yeah? You didn't ask me. Though our physical body may die, if we are in Christ, we'll be present with him to live eternally. The Spirit will make us alive with our resurrected bodies. For this reason, we should mortify or put to death the things of the flesh through the Spirit of the Lord. A big part of walking with the Spirit is putting to death the deeds of the body. Because we walked in the flesh for so long, we get the Spirit of God. He's teaching us how to walk with him, but his ways are opposite, so we have to be killing these things and putting on over here. So a big part of it deals with putting off. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This removes the idea of just getting saved as fire insurance. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say, well, I gave my heart to the Lord. Well, how are you living your life? Well, I'm kind of in a backslidden state, but, you know, God just loves me. He said, no. If you're not walking with him, you're walking the other way, and it could lead you to a point where you totally turn from him or harden your heart to a point you don't want to come back his way. He says, as many as are led, they are the sons. You'll either follow after things of spirit or you'll follow after things of flesh. One will lead you to life, the other to death. Turn to Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest or evident, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. That's what he's wanting. Obedience is a key factor in our walk with Christ. Obedience to the faith. Well, does that just mean coming to a point where you just say, I believe, or is he talking about the whole walk with him? I believe it's talking about coming to him and walking with him. Because he didn't really put in plan A, B, and C. Okay, well, you guys can get saved and just kind of hang around. You can get saved and just do a few things. He said, no, I saved you so that you could be conformed to the image of my son. Everyone. So getting saved is not just fire insurance. James 2:17-26 shows that faith without works or obedience is dead. There has to be a response to the truth. Because even the devils believe and they tremble, but they don't obey. There's much in the New Testament about walking with Christ. It's a relationship that we have with the Son of God, not just following certain rules and procedures to get accepted. And we've looked at 2 Peter 1:3 quite a bit, and it shows that if we don't continue to walk with him, applying his promises and becoming partakers of his divine nature, we can even forget that we were purged from our sins. That's why I said it's the Spirit leads us, because if He's not leading us, we're just doing things on our own, walking in the flesh. And you can get to the point where you forget that you were purged. Romans 8:15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. I don't know. There's times I read this and it doesn't really impact me, but there's other. I mean, I read it and it's just kind of like I'm reading it, but there's other times when I'm entered into His presence, it's Abba, Father. Because there's that heart just gets revealed to you. And you just feel His love and you're in His presence. That's the Spirit of God crying, Abba, Father. He's made us His children so that we can cry out to Him. That's something we need to grow in. It's just knowing that you can come to Him at any time. There are households that are out of kilter. The kids are afraid to ask their parents things. There are households that have been structured according to God's word where the children feel very open to just come before their parents and talk to them. I don't think any of that compares to what God wants with us. Why would He put that spirit where we're just crying for Him? It's a longing. It's a yearning to be with Him. I think that is part of what caused Paul to say, I'm willing to be absent from this body and just be with Him. Because I think he grasped that love to a greater degree. Because if you know somebody loves you, you want to be with them. And God loves us. And He's given us a spirit that just cries, Abba, Father. You're not held in bondage. The spirit of bondage to sin and condemnation, bondage to the fear of death, bondage to the elements or principles of the world, these being the rudimentary principles such as ceremonialism, meats, drinks, washings, ascetic asceticism, pagan symbolic mysteries and initiatory rites, all belong to a rudimentary moral stage. That's from Vincent. But Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. The Spirit of God just moving in us. We don't have bondage. We can cry, Abba, Father. We're adopted as His children, and His Spirit is given to us so we know that we are the children of God. Ephesians 1:5. He predetermined or predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. We've been talking about kindness in our small group. God is kind. He predetermined that we would be adopted through His Son, Jesus Christ, because of the kind intention of His will. He said, I want to do this. If God didn't want to do this, you know where we would all be right now? We'd be in the darkness of this world. But He wanted to do it because He is so kind. Let me see where I'm at here. Galatians 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Ephesians 2:18. For it's through Him, that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction, access by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we're able to approach Him. Therefore, you're no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for Himself, and you belong to God's own household. Let's keep that picture in our heads. We have access to the Father so that you're able to approach Him. Who revealed that to us? The Father did, through His written word, lets us know, I've given you a spirit inside of you that just cries, Abba, Father, and I said, you can approach me. But what is it that we usually do when we should be approaching Him? We're getting out the fig leaves. I heard God walking in the garden. We're ashamed to come to Him. It's the kind intention of His will that we would be able to cry, Abba, Father, and come before Him. Let that thing just roam in your head, because I know as people we struggle with that. Because we're getting out the fig leaves. People will turn and start doing all kinds of other things, avoiding, stop reading, stop praying, stop fellowshipping, pull off to yourself. What are you doing? You're putting on a fig leaf because you're ashamed. He sees everything you're doing anyhow. So why not just come and say, God, I really blew it. Help me just get my feet back under me. He's not sitting up there waiting to just smash you. Three strikes and you're out. If it was three strikes and you're out, I would have been out many, many years ago. It all depends on what we do with His truth. That's why the book of Romans, we need to see this justification. We need to see being dead. We need to have those rooted in our hearts so we're not shaken. And when we start heading for the fig leaf, we go, no. God said, I can come to Him just as I am. I don't feel worthy. Well, you have never been worthy to come before Him. Never. He made you worthy to come before Him. So why should we feel that because of our actions, now I'm unworthy to pray, I'm going to wait till I get my life together? You can't get your life together without Him. And we've got this human mentality that just is twisted and keeps us from just seeing the simplicity of coming before Him. Do one more here. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Bearing witness. This means He's providing confirming evidence by means of testimony. He lets us know we're His children. In 2 Corinthians 1:20. Now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. You say, well, I don't really know. He said, as far as I'm concerned, here's my guarantee that I'm going to do the complete work in you. I'm giving you my Spirit. Oh, I don't know. Need to kick Eeyore out. Oh, it'll never work. Yes, it will work. With each and every person, no matter what their struggles in life, God's ability to deal with us is so far beyond our comprehension that we fail, just kind of like the human mind. They say that we only use a real small percentage of it. Well, I think we fail to see how much God the Father has given us and really avail ourselves of all that He has. But He does bear witness in our spirit that we're His kids, and He places that guarantee within us. That Holy Spirit is a guarantee that I am going to do what I said I would do. Just walk with me. Allow me to lead you. Follow me. Amen. We'll stop right there, and we'll pick up there next time. Go ahead and we'll take a break.